Troy Malcolm, last podcast of 2018. How are you, gentlemen?
Morning, Tommy.
Morning, Tom.
We're here together at Edgecliff, and I think you're at your home office, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm at my home office, and I have to tell you, I love, like, don't get me wrong, I do miss seeing you guys because we'd have this weekly routine. We'd be next to each other. You know, I'd sit down next to Troy, have a inferiority complex where he's always looking fantastic and sharp with that blue suit and his white shirt, you know. So I don't see you guys as much, but I have to say, I'm a big fan of Zencastr.
Yeah, no, it's good. And thanks to our dear friends in the UK that taught us yet another thing. But, no, it's been really good. And, yeah, a nice kind of period, obviously festive period. So we wish everyone, as we will at the end of the podcast, that all the best that period. But I think also, Tom, a period of great reflection in for what many people have seen a challenging year. Not everyone. We know there are some people that are shooting the lights out. But kind of over the Christmas break, you know, one of the things I think might be just to take those quieter moments because, you know, in busy mode, because so many of our listeners are so successful and therefore so busy throughout the year, you do get that chance for a couple of weeks to kind of like let the dust settle, you know, have some good food, hang out with your family, maybe do a bit of exercise, but also have a bit of a think about next year and what do you want and what are you prepared to do. I was reading something the other day, Tommy, and it said, if you could guarantee the outcome, you would not hesitate in taking the steps, or words to that effect. So basically what they were saying is, if you absolutely eat this and if you do these three things every day, you will lose 8 kilograms in 6 weeks and you will feel better than you ever. See, most people kind of know it. It's a bit like, you know, real estate. You know, if you prospect and if you ring these people and if you say these words. But I think if someone were to have an ironclad guarantee, they'd be more likely to take the steps. So there are no ironclad guarantees. That's the bad news. But the reality is, as the three of us have seen over the years, we've, you know, been fortunate to experience it ourselves and we've observed it in many others, Tom. If you actually do the stuff in 2019 from the minute you get back until this time next year, you will double your business unequivocally. So, yeah.
Jeez, I love that. John, I love it. You've more or less said if it was guaranteed – you weren't going to fail if you did this, you'd do it. But somewhere along the line, people do get ambiguous or get doubts in their head and they probably then stop doing the things that are the template or the steps.
Oh, that's right. You know, and I started off using an example of a sort of a weight loss, and sometimes people embark on that journey and then a week in they kind of haven't seen any great result, and 2 weeks in there hasn't been a big difference, and then someone pops up, you know, a bowl full of chisels in front of them and they think, oh, what the heck, I'm not going to lose the weight anyway. So I think, you know, a big thing for people to focus on is, you know, what's really important to you? Not what did your parents want you to do? What do you think your friends want you to do? What do you think community expects you to do? What is really important for you in business and in life? And what is the best pathway to achieve that? Then get rid of the doubt, then put in place the plan. And, you know, like I said, there are no ironclad guarantees, but I've got to tell you, it's a 98% certainty. If you do the things that others have done to achieve the results you want to achieve, 98% you're going to get there. So, you know, it's always that 2% wiggle room that something untoward could happen. But I really encourage everyone to think about that because, you know, life is short and we want to make sure that we maximize everything we want to get for ourselves and our loved ones out of it.
Okay. And John and Troy, what you're saying, well, I think John's been doing most of the talking on the podcast so far. John, what you're saying is that this is probably a great time where the noise in your head is being cut for you to reflect on what is it that personally really I want makes me happy. It's a good time of the year to do it because you don't have the distraction of normal day-to-day business.
Yeah, and a lot of people would know that they get most creative when they're on holidays. Why? Because you're on holidays, your head isn't filled up with all the stuff that every day you have to deal with and fight the fires and so forth. So, you know, this is a holiday of sorts. Even if you're not going away, it's a time where you can reflect. So I think, you know, the luxury of time And, you know, even if you can supplement that with a little bit of reading or something that kind of just gently stimulates your thought process. Because, you know, in sales, most people, the three of us see, I reckon, if I had to say, what percentage do I think from zero to mastery? Mastery is 100 and zero is someone just starting out, got no clue. I don't see many salespeople get beyond 50%. I reckon 5-6 out of 10 is where the majority of people, our listeners are a bit above the curve, but still across the board. So my question is, you know, for you to get to a 9.9, what would it take? What books do you have to read? You know, what else do you have to be doing? How do you have to get yourself mentally and physically? All those sort of things. Because at 9.9, your life is very different from perhaps where it is today. Not for everyone, but for some. And there's no one listening to this that can't be a 9.9. So, you know, now's the time to banish the doubt. If you have
Johnny, I want to cover two things before we finish this podcast today. One of those things is, I have to say that most people, not all, but most, I'd say more than half, 50% of people are always mindful of doing the right thing on weight management. And I love to talk about your template or the system that you've used. You've told me the other day you've got, how much did you lose, 8 kilos in 10 weeks or 10 kilos in 8 weeks?
Yeah, 10 kilos in 8 weeks, Tommy. And I was telling someone very early this morning at a meeting I had with them, and they asked me, and I said, you know, kind of embarrassingly, it was incredibly easy. And I say it embarrassingly because you normally think something that achieves a great outcome for you should have a lot of struggle attached to it, a lot of pain and discomfort. This really didn't. I just decided that, you know, between 8 weeks ago and Christmas that I wanted to kind of get back to a healthier weight. And you and I and Troy have all seen some friends throughout the year, you know, be challenged with health issues. So I thought, well, you know, let's get into it before next year. So I didn't put a particular – I did put an overall goal, but I didn't put milestones. I just said, you know, 10 kilos is a good outcome. So you know, I figured there's two variables, or there's two major levers to pull. One is diet, what you eat, put in your mouth, and the second one, of course, is how you move and exercise. So on the exercise front – and also, Tom, I like keeping things very simple and easy. So exercise, I said, 10,000 steps a day, 120 stairs, 120 push-ups. Now, that's not all at once, you know, the 120 push-ups throughout the day, but I thought those three things are all very achievable. I mean, 10,000 steps is about an hour and a half walking.
How do you measure your steps, John?
Well, I use the health app on the iPhone. So it means you have to carry your iPhone, or unless you've got a watch. I think Troy's got an Apple Watch. But so just carry the iPhone with you. But I know it's about, if I don't have my phone with me, I know it's about 90-minute walk. So nowadays, again, you know, you can either walk and relax and do nothing, or you can stick in some earpods and listen to more stuff, which I choose to do. So 10,000 steps, 120 push-ups, and 120 stairs, and that was it for me. Three simple, easy things to do. On the dietary side, the major decision was I wasn't going to eat anything that was man-made. So nothing processed, and some people say, oh, my God, that's so hard. Not really. You got fruit, you got vegetables, you got fish, meat, and chicken. That's kind of a lot of stuff there, right? For most people, there's plenty of combinations of those things. So really it was about quality food and not processed. And the third one I did, which was for some people the only area of potential discomfort, was I did intermittent fasting. So I started off saying, because I just did a bit of research on it, and I thought, well, I'll skip breakfast and I'll just do lunch, dinner, which is 16 hours sort of break in the day between meals from dinner to the next lunch, which was kind of good. But I found it really so effective and really quite a positive thing, Tom, not a difficult thing, that I actually ended up going with another form of intermittent fasting, which was one meal a day, which was, for me, dinner. So I ended up and that wasn't a huge decision or a huge leap of faith. I just found that I was getting to lunch. I wasn't that hungry. I was feeling energized. I, you know, by the time I thought about having something to eat, it was 2 or 3 o'clock. I'm thinking, well, I'm going to have dinner at 6. I might as well just wait. And as your stomach shrinks, of course, you find that you don't need as much. So I found the leap to go from two meals a day to one meal a day was actually quite easy. So in the end, after a few weeks, the last 5 or 6 weeks, I was just doing one meal a day. So whatever people do, I mean, that you can replicate that and you'll get exactly what I got. I imagine you'll get 10 kilos in 8 weeks, which for some people would be their goal. Other people want more or less, can adjust it. Some people might say, well, I couldn't go skip a meal, but I'll just do some other stuff. And it's pretty straightforward. So same in real estate. You know, prospect lists sell, not a lot of levers to pull. How do you become a great prospector, a brilliant lister, and a great negotiator and seller? They're the things that, you know, hopefully our listeners will be focusing on over the break as they get some relaxing time.
And, John, and the thing about that is also, you know, it's just about beginning, not waiting for New Year's Eve or New Year's Day to start. I always laugh when you go to the gym after New Year's Day and the gym's absolutely packed, and then after a month it halves, and then another month it starts to halve again. I think it's all about progress. And if you just start today and it's 120 steps or 120 push-ups, like John said, it's not 120 in one go. It's not 10,000 steps in one go. You can do two walks at 45 minutes and that'll get you to your 10,000 steps.
Yeah.
The same way we look at real estate prospecting, whether that's listing or whether that's conducting any type of sales business, you know, it's just about continually looking for progress and improvement.
Beautifully said.
I heard a statistic, and I don't know it exactly, but roughly it was about 25% of people that join the gym never go.
That's probably true.
At the time I was amazed, but then you think about it, no, because joining the gym is step one, actually turning up is step two, and there's plenty of people that actually buy the gym card and they don't turn up to the gym, which is kind of silly, right? But anyway, it happens in a very large number. And as you say, Troy, even the 75% that go, a month later, half of them aren't gone. So this is about consistency, right? Yep. Life is about consistency. There's a series of sprints, but it's kind of also, it's got a bit of marathon about it, which is the long term, like just keep grinding, as Gary Vee says. But then there's also day to day and week to week, there's some sprints. You know, when do you need to bring your energy to a crescendo? You know, what are the key things? There was a good quote I heard recently, Tommy, and it was roughly said, highly paid executives are paid to make two or three excellent quality or high quality decisions a day. Highly paid and successful executives are paid to make two or three good quality decisions every day. And you think about it, I mean, for me, that was a really enlightening thing because, you know, whether you're a salesperson or an executive, kind of it feels like, you know, it's a treadmill and you just got to keep doing it, doing it, doing it all, and it becomes quite fatiguing. If you thought of it, so from a sales perspective, every day, if you turned up to two listings and you were scintillating, if you made 10 prospecting calls, don't worry about 2 hours, don't worry about 100, 10 prospecting calls to the right people and had quality conversations. And if you showed three properties that were listed and you were brilliant in terms of showcasing the benefits of that home, why that home, why that area, why that property, why now – if you did those five activities, we'll call it six, 10 prospecting calls is an activity and the other were five, every day, you'd be the next Michael Pallia, right? You'd probably be one of the best agents in the stratosphere. So I think let's start thinking about, you know, real estate. Well, and the other end of the scale, by the way, is people that make no sales in a week, sometimes no sales in a month, but they're always busy. Oh, flat out, oh, so busy, I've got to run to the next meeting, I'll get to the next appointment. The meetings they turn up to, they're often underprepared or ill-prepared. They don't know enough about the property. They don't engage in quality conversations. They're kind of very superficial conversations, and they say, oh, I left 20 messages today, that's enough. You know, it's kind of like getting it back to the quality stuff. So, again, maybe people can think about that over the break.
Okay. On that point, it's now 9:34 on Friday the 21st of December, and I know, Troy, you're uploading this podcast on this same day. Is that right?
Yeah, correct. Going live today.
You're going. At 9 o'clock to 9:15 today, approximately, or just before that, the first call, I had two phone calls, and I'd love to finish this podcast on these two positive calls because Troy, John, and I talk to agents the way agents talk to buyers and sellers every day. And there has been a tone and a mood of a conversation with agents is, geez, it's hard. It's tough out there, you know, and that sort of mood. But these two phone calls, one after the other, surprised me that they happened so quickly. One of them was from Michael Pallia, by the way, John, who we probably all agree has been the number one producing sales agent in Australasia in the last 25 years. No one would have ridden.
And Alex Phillips wouldn't be too far behind him. They'd be, and James Trossard, of course, we know James has been. But I think the volume that Pally is doing right now is probably unprecedented. But keep going.
So the first call was with him. I said to him, by the way, how's your year been? He says, oh, it was good. It was good. He goes, a little bit more than last year. I think he said I did between 450 and 500 million thereabouts. And I said, okay, wow. And then so that's a positive. There was no hint of any recession or downturn in his voice or his numbers. And then the second phone call was from an agent that said, things seem to be really going my way now, Tom. And I said, why is that? He said, oh, the marketplace is just the kind of marketplace that I operate better. And I go, why is that? He said, oh, it's simple. Because the prices have dropped, it's good for my first home buyers. Because the prices have dropped, my upgraders are actually better off. Because I've always used expired listings as a big strategy in my life for the last 10 years, all of a sudden I can work this strategy. Because commission cutting had been rife in my area, a lot of these poor agents now are out of the picture and clients are actually looking for results. So they're happy to pay for results. So all of a sudden he goes, the market's just ticking all the boxes. So, yeah, I've had a good year and I think I'm going to really have a great year next year. And I just thought it was just fantastic the way that they both looked at it and talked about the positives of this market.
I love the sound of that, Tom, and it comes back to what the three of us talk about all year on our podcasts and to our people, which is it's all about mindset. You know, you control your attitude, not much else in your life. And it's the same, whoever said that, that's the same market that the person across the road or even sitting next to them is complaining about, oh, this is terrible and the market's getting tougher and prices are down. And this person is just seeing the glass half full and saying, great, expired, brilliant. First home buyers can get into the market. Commission cutters are vanishing. Vendors now know they need a quality agent. They're prepared to pay for the quality agent to achieve the result. I mean, that's a really great way to leave our listeners, our audience, over the break to think about that, you know, whatever you say about yourself, about your market, about your situation, your story will become the reality, whatever you say. And I just love, you know, that person you're talking to, what they're saying is they're manifesting every single day. So I reckon that's a great one to leave
to wrap up on. Oh, we were going to say, we did say last episode, Tom, that we were going to talk about or mention one book that we were reading over the Christmas break.
What's yours, Troy? What's your book?
My book is Fanatical.
Dr. Zeus. It cannot be Dr. Zeus. It's not going to help our audience. No Dr. Zeus.
The Christmas Grinch. No, mine would be Fanatical Prospecting from Joe, and I can't remember his last name for the life of me. I should have. I looked it up this morning. But it was a gift from one of the agents that I've been working with.
Fanatical Prospecting. Yep, that sounds good. I reckon it's similar vein, Fierce Conversations. I'm going to reread it. I have read it. But Fierce Conversations by Susan Scott, because I do think, and replace the word fierce, but key, important, in some instances occasionally tough, but direct and honest conversations are going to be the key to success, and that'll unlock a lot more success for us all. Tommy, what are you going to be listening to?
Let me just add, because it is a great book that Troy referred to. The author's name is Jeb, J-E-B, Blount, B-L-O-U-N-T. I've just brought it up on my Kindle as I'm talking to you. But I can tell you, I downloaded the book. Though I've got it on audio, because I was enjoying it, I've gone and purchased it on Kindle yesterday. Is a book which most people would be aware of the author, Gary Vaynerchuk, and it's crushing it because he's got some really great content there. He's updated this book and he's just got some really great content on Facebook, Insta, LinkedIn, and he made a very valid point, John and Troy, and that is the reason why Facebook Live is getting so much cut through is if you think about television, there's very few programs on TV these days that are live. There's sport and there's the news. And the reason why is it's difficult to actually produce live. It's hard to captivate people. Most programs have gone through an editing process where, you know, things have been cut and posted and reshot, and people love the authenticity of live. So my book is going to be crushing it by Gary Vaynerchuk.
Awesome. Very good.
Awesome. Well, there's plenty for people to do and think about over the break. And obviously on behalf of Troy and I, thanks, Tom, for another great year working with you, loving your work. I know you've had a really challenging period there with your family, with George's passing, but it's always a pleasure to work with you. We admire the way that you just picked yourself up during that period. We love you very much, and we look forward to lots more insights and work throughout next year, not just with you, but with all our listeners. It's great getting the feedback, eh, Troy?
Yeah, keep rating, keep going on to iTunes. What the ultimate Christmas gift to us could be, you writing us 5 stars and writing an amazing review, so I'll be checking them.
He couldn't help himself, Tommy. He had to throw a plug in there. I love it. I love it. Always selling.
Troy. Are you aware that there's a podcast strategy meeting that's gone out, 2 invites, Tom Panos and John McGrath, while you're away in London? So while you're away in London, we'll work it out. We're probably going to be back on the air on the Troy, when are you returning back?
I'm back early January.
Early January?
Mid-January.
Yep.
Let's aim for a mid-January, commence our podcast. This will be our – we're going into our – is this our 6th year, Troy, or our 5th year?
Yeah, we're coming up to 6 years. We're coming into our 6th year now.
Do it for love, not for money. We haven't received it
yet. We're going to keep reminding ourselves. All right, guys.
Thanks a lot.
See you, Tommy.
Thanks. Bye, Tommy.
See you, Troy. Bye.